Hi, and thanks for listening to the podcast. My name's April, but you might know me as the Podzilla. I've decided that I really want to share some things that I know because I know now that I didn't always know what I know, but now I do. So every week, I'll be sharing bite-sized real talks with advice that you didn't even know you needed. If you already follow me online, then you know that I love talking about why everybody is a good body. But there's lots of things that I didn't know about body positivity and activism that I'd love to share with you, as well as sharing my advice as a fat person so that you, like me, can become more inclusive and happy with your own body. I'm here to learn, teach, and grow. So if you are too, subscribe to hear from me whenever a new episode drops. Well, well, welcome back. It's episode 4, season 2 of the podcast. Today's episode is about tone policing. Have you heard of it? If you're Black, Indigenous, or a person of colour, and especially if you're not a cis man, you'll have experienced it, even if the term doesn't ring a bell. You might already know from TV and films that Black women in media have long been limited to characters who are sassy, sexy, or sweet housekeepers. The angry Black woman stereotype has existed since at least the 1920s, and it isn't limited to American culture. But it is most often seen in US sitcoms, and one of the most notable recent mentions of it comes from a New York Times article where Alessandra Stanley penned the sentence, "When Shonda Rhimes writes her autobiography, it should be called How to Get Away with Being an Angry Black Woman." If you've ever been told that you need to lower your voice, watch your tone, or to calm down, if you know what it feels like to be so frustrated because you know you are making a valid point, but the only thing in question is why you're so angry all the time, then you know what tone policing is. Tone policing tries to draw attention away from the truth, or maybe the falsity, of a statement by attacking the way in which it was presented rather than the actual statement itself. This is something we see online and in real life, and it disproportionately affects marginalised people. In her book, So You Want to Talk About Race, Ijoma Olu says, "Tone policing is when someone, usually the privileged person, in a conversation or situation about oppression, shifts the focus of the conversation from the oppression being discussed to the way it is being discussed. Tone policing prioritises the comfort of the privileged person in the situation over the oppression of the disadvantaged person." I have experienced tone policing quite often as a fat person of colour. These intersecting identities are relevant when you consider that in my 20s, I often felt like the sassy sidekick from a 90s sitcom. I was referred to as being big and black, which made me entertaining, but also someone you shouldn't mess with. An ex-partner of mine loved to say, "You never mess with an angry black woman who's got her finger pointed at you." That same ex-partner compared me being frustrated, angry, or crying in a conversation to being abusive or violent, when it turns out the way I was being gaslit and manipulated was much closer to that. Using tone policing tactics in public and body shaming in private meant that I believed a lot of the things that I was told, internalizing racism and in turn believing that the quieter, less sassy version of myself was the better one. The difficulty that comes with working in online activism is the way that you're often expected to put your own trauma aside to be able to discuss things. I do feel that what I do is something that I have been called to do. I do it because I believe in the power of social change. But it can be exhausting to be asked to comment on things or to speak uncomfortable truths. I know that sometimes it isn't possible for people to do this, and it's a boundary that online creators often find hard to uphold. One of the ways that people deflect and tone police is to call someone who's asking them to examine their actions a bully. They start with aggression, demanding that you explain to them why they've done the wrong thing because they just don't get it. They may even gaslight you and say, "I didn't say or do that," in defense of something harmful they've done or said. Now, you might try to explain, but you don't owe someone any explanation. It's likely that you might become emotional while trying to do what's being asked of you, and this is a perfectly reasonable way to respond. Imagine you tell someone something they've posted is showing an anti-fat bias. You're feeling triggered or upset, or maybe just sick of it, and you explain. The person sees you getting upset and says, "You don't need to get so upset about it. You're being irrational." If you continue to explain, getting frustrated at the way that they're deliberately misunderstanding you, then they might try to say that you've hurt their feelings. They'll bring up most likely unrelated issues and trauma of their own, asking, "How could you hurt me like this when I'm vulnerable?" They might accuse you of being unwilling to educate them and that you're not being nice, which makes it hard for them to listen to what you're saying. Some messages that I've received that reflect this exact situation include, all you needed to do was explain this to me in a nice way. I did something unintentionally without understanding the impact. You're a nasty bully and you've really hurt me. This is an issue I didn't have enough understanding on, but my willingness to learn just surely tanked. Yep, they are real messages. So when I say the topic of tone policing is one I am sure you might find interesting, this is one of the reasons why. People who put pride flags or ally in their Instagram bio might still only be showing up for the people they see are worthy of their allyship. Our ongoing commitment to expanding our understanding of others has to be genuine and not just for the aesthetics. Someone admitting that they would give up on trying to learn anything about how anti-fat bias hurts people, even yes, if it's performed as a one-off comical video for the internet, or maybe as an entire character in a series of films, whatever, because you as a fat person didn't make it easy for them to hear it? Yeah, well, you know what you can do with that. An article from 2018 suggests that the idea of tone policing is flawed because in telling someone that you have a right to express yourself as angrily as you want to without them raising an objection, you're also inherently telling them that they don't have a right to be angry about the way that you're addressing them. Now, I can see the logic in this viewpoint. However, there is so much value in being able to wrap a phrase around the feeling of being invalidated in this way. Like all aspects of communication, nuance and context are key, and mistakes will surely be made. If you are genuinely trying to give the space to people whose voices have been silenced for far too long, being called in and asked to consider the impact of your actions will be uncomfortable, but not impossible. Thanks again for being here for episode 4 of the podcast, and until next time, remember, your body, my body, everybody is a good body. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the podcast, part of the Acast Creator Network. If you enjoyed it, then don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that you need to do so that you don't miss an episode. And if you know someone that might like it, don't forget to share it with them. You can also come and chat to me about anything from this episode on Instagram or Facebook. You'll find me at The Bodzilla. This podcast is about me, but it's also about you. So if you have questions, need advice, or want to hear my thoughts on something, head to thebodzilla.com and let me know. I'll leave the links where you can find them.